Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And if you're out there in the listening audience, of course, I'll ask you to hold your calls until we know whether we're going to have our special guest, William Federer, today. And we're going to be talking about his book on Islam. What is the Muslim faith? Now, I want you to look back 10 years. That would be, 1997? Did you ever hear about the Muslim extremists threatening the United States at that time? Oh, there might have been a handful of them, Wahhabis, a few members of the Muslim Brotherhood. There have been a few minor incidents of Islamic terrorism, but certainly no talk about the Islam threatening the survival of the West. Because certainly at that time, Islam did not threaten the survival of the West. Certainly they have an archaic religion, which we disagree with. Certainly there are many things in the Muslim faith which I abhor, and it certainly rules by fear. And you are ritualistic. There's no love or grace or forgiveness in this. And the only way you can be sure you're going to get to heaven is to die in jihad, killing the infidels like you and me. But certainly the Muslim faith and the radicals part of the Muslim faith was not threatening here in America. We weren't seeing any acts of terrorism. And yet, in the last 7 or 8 years, there's been an increasing turn of the moderates and Muslims away from the moderate faith, and many of them are being recruited into a very violent and militant form of the Muslim faith. And certainly in Turkey you're seeing a threat to the secular government there by the radical Islamic people. You're seeing the same thing taking place in Saudi Arabia. You're seeing Egypt will not even allow the Muslim Brotherhood to run candidates. Why? Because if they were to hold an election there, the radical form of the Muslim faith would take over the country, as it would in so many of the Islamic nations. In fact, we're seeing the whole Muslim world moving away from what it was and where it had been for the better part of 80 years towards embracing this radical form of the Muslim faith, which was really the earmark of Muhammad when he was here in the 600s. Well, with that as a background, I think we have William Federer here. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Great to be with you.
Why don't you pick up your story? Because you've done a lot of research on the Muslim faith, and so would like to hear what you have to say.
Well, great. Well, I just finished a new book. It's entitled What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. And, of course, we have our first Muslim congressman, Keith Ellison, and he swore in upon a Quran. Nancy Pelosi was there at the little ceremony, and when he swore in, he gave a speech to his supporters. He said, "You can't back down, you can't chicken out, you can't be afraid, you've got to have faith in Allah, you've got to stand up and be a real Muslim." He goes on to say, "We're going to continue to face them. They're not going to stop right away, but if you and I stick together, if we believe in Allah, if we turn to the Quran for guidance, we'll find an answer to the questions we have." And so I turned to the Quran for guidance, and let's look at some of the verses in there. Surah 5:17 says, "Infidels are those who say God is one of three in a Trinity." Surah 5:73, "Infidels are those who declare God is Christ, the Son of Mary." "Infidels are your sworn enemies," Surah 4:101. "Make war on the infidels who dwell around you," Surah 9:123. "When you meet an infidel on the battlefield, strike off their heads," Surah 47:4. Of course, you compare this to Jesus that said, "Love your enemies." And
hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Bill Federer.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company that provides unique technology to transform water. The Electrolyze Plus water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyze water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyze Plus alkalinizing, miracle rejuvenating water concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
So you take care of your car, you change the oil, tune it up on a regular basis, and always make sure that it's running at its best. When it comes to your car, you demand performance. That's why you need SFR's Protecta synthetic oil treatments, Protecta engine treatment, Protecta transmission treatment, and Protecta complete fuel system treatment. Protecta meets the demands you put on your vehicle by providing more horsepower, improving gas mileage, decreasing emissions, and promotes longer engine life. Only Protecta contains a new technology, Nano-B, which is not found in any competitive additive products at your local auto parts store. At Protecta, we do not compromise quality. Because you expect the very best, we provide products that work right the first time, every time. So get more when you treat it right with Protecta. For a very special introductory half-price offer available only to GCN listeners, please call 888-USE-SFR-1 or visit www.sfrcorp.com. That's 888-USE-SFR, the number 1, or visit www.sfrcorp.com. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest today is William Feder, and he's comparing the writings of the Quran with certainly the writings of the Holy Scriptures, and there's not much in the way of forgiveness in the Quran, is there?
No, there's not. And Muhammad, it's interesting when you see his life, it tells quite a story. What I did in the book is I thought, well, am I taking these verses of the Quran out of context? Am I being Islamophobic? And then I thought, you know, it really doesn't matter what I think or what the Muslims that are in charge of the media and universities and so forth, but how have the Muslims over the last 1,400 years interpreted these verses? And so what I did is put together a history of the world from Muhammad till now. And he was born in 570 A.D. over in Asia Minor. When he was 20 years old, he married a 45-year-old lady, and she was a Ebionite Christian. In that area of the world, there was a lot of Christian heresies, and the Ebionites thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but he was not divine. And these different influences affected him, and long story short, he chopped off the heads of 700 Jews in Medina, went on to fight in 26 battles and 86 raids. He divided the world into two houses, the House of Islam and the House of War. And so the whole non-Muslim world is called the House of War. And a faithful Muslim, the word Islam means submission, and a Muslim is somebody who has submitted, and they think there will be world peace when the whole world has submitted to the will of Allah or become Muslim. Whereas we think world peace is different groups that don't believe the same thing learning how to get along. a faithful Muslim thinks there'll be world peace only when the world becomes Muslim. And a moderate Muslim thinks that Islam will conquer the world in the distant future. So just go ahead and get along with everybody now. A violent Muslim thinks that Islam will conquer the world now, and they want to help make it happen. As a matter of fact, the violent Muslims view the moderate ones as backslidden. And every now and then, a moderate one speaks out against the violence of the violent ones, and then a fatwa is put out against them, and they end up getting killed. And so, in a sense, there could be three groups of Muslims: the violent ones, the ones who are afraid of the violent ones, and then the dead ones who weren't afraid of the violent ones. But the whole religion seems to be captivated by the violent aspect. And Muhammad died in 632 A.D., and the caliph is the military and religious leader who followed Muhammad. He is the ultimate supreme leader in all of Islam, religiously and militarily. And so that's sort of the difficulty we're having today, separating the militant side of Islam from the religious side, because Muhammad was a military leader and a religious leader. Whereas Jesus was just a religious leader, Muhammad was both. And so the caliphs that followed him were also military leaders, and they conquered all of Arabia, all of North Africa. People forget that North Africa used to be all Christian. There were 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa. St. Augustine of Hippo was from Carthage, North Africa. Mark, that wrote the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark started the Coptic Christian Church in Egypt. And when the Muslims went through there, they moved his bones over to Venice. And that's where St. Mark's Cathedral is. If you've ever seen a tourist picture of Venice, you'll see the piazza with the church in the back and the pigeons flying up. Anyway, then the Muslims conquered Alexandria, which at the time had the oldest library in the world. And Caliph Umar was the one riding in, and they asked him what should be done with the books. And he said, every book that does not agree with the Quran should be destroyed, and every book that does agree with the Quran is redundant because we have the Quran, so destroy them all. Then the Muslims went into Persia and conquered Persia. It's interesting, Yazgard was the emperor of Persia, and he had been at war for decades with the Byzantine Christians who controlled the Holy Land. Matter of fact, the Yazgard and his Persians, Zoroastrian Persians, conquered and destroyed every church in the Holy Land except the one in Bethlehem, because it had a mural of the three wise men on the wall. But both of those kingdoms were militarily depleted, and so when the Muslims swept in, they conquered quickly. The Yazgard sent an emissary out to the Muslims and said, we will give you everything west of the Tigris, and you allow us to keep everything east of the Tigris, and if this does not satisfy your land hunger, then nothing will. And the Muslim commander wrote back saying, we are not interested in land. We want to convert you to Islam. And so this changed warfare forever. Instead of it being an imperial conquest to gain more land, it's now an ideological conquest. And, you know, Alexander the Great and the Romans, they would conquer an area and let them keep their religion. Rome even put a statue of that local god into the pantheon. But the Muslims were wanting to change the religion. Anyway, it's interesting. Part of the reason that they fought so swiftly was because of the stirrup. The stirrup was a military invention. When you ride a horse, you put your feet in the stirrup. That didn't exist in Roman times. Roman soldiers would ride on horseback, but then they didn't have anything to put their feet in. And so they would get off the horse to actually fight. But stirrup started with the nomads in Mongolia, and they would tie a rope around a horse and then leave the two ends dangling for their big toes and tie loops in them, because they would ride horse barefoot. And the stirrup made its way down to China in the 5th century, and they made the loop in the ropes big enough for your foot. And then in the 6th century, the invention of the stirrup made its way to Persia, and they put wooden blocks in there, and that's where the Muslims got it from, Persia. And they would ride. The importance of a stirrup is now you could fight on horseback. You could put the full power of a galloping horse behind your sword. So the Muslims developed the curved sword, the scimitar, because this way they could lean over and slice somebody in half while they're riding at a full gallop. And they would go on these Ghazi raids and raid the caravans and then raid these cities. And a Ghazi warrior was somebody who fought in a battle alongside of Muhammad. And so they had special status in that first generation after Muhammad. After that, the word Ghazi just meant a religious warrior for Islam. And anyway, they would go on these lightning raids and attack a city, and just a small group of them, and they would, you know, come in all of a sudden, kill some people, and then leave. And it would strike terror into the whole city, and then the whole city would surrender. And they would do that over and over again. And anyway, in 638 A.D., Caliph Umar surrounded Jerusalem, and the Byzantine patriarch of the city, Safanarius, surrendered the city, and they struck an agreement. He would surrender it, and the Caliph agreed not to kill him and the Christians as long as they abided by 20 disabilities called Dhimmi, D-H-I-M-M-I, and they still exist for Christians and Jews in Muslim countries to this day. Dhimmi status meant they had to pay an annual tax. They called it a protection tax, similar to a gang that goes to a storefront in Chicago and offers the store owner protection, and he says, no thanks, I'm fine. The next day the store owner finds his store has been vandalized, and the gang shows up and says, oh, gee, you should have brought our protection. Well, it was clear that they did it, so as long as that store owner pays the gang, they leave him alone. And so that's what it is in Muslim countries. Every year the Christian or the Jew has to pay this exorbitant jizya tax. And then they could not pray out loud. They could not ring church bells. They could not display any emblems of their faith. They had to stand up if a Muslim comes in a room and give them their seat. If a Muslim comes by their house, they have to put them up for 3 days. If the Muslims destroy your church, you cannot rebuild it. If the Muslims want to sleep and stay in your church, you have to let them. A Muslim has to be present in every Christian meeting. Christians could not own horses with stirrups. Christians could not own any kind of weapon, and couldn't bring their dead by a Muslim cemetery, couldn't ring their church bells. It was their version of the ACLU. They wanted to make sure that there was no public Christian display of faith. And so the Muslims conquered Jerusalem and the Holy Land. Again, at the time it was Byzantine Christian. And then they began to attack Constantinople, which was the capital of the world. It was the richest city in the world. By this time, it was a 400-year-old city. It was started in the 300s by Constantine. He was the emperor who legalized Christianity, the Roman emperor. But the Greeks had a military advantage called Greek fire, where they took oil and sawdust, mixed it up in brass containers, and then pumped it under pressure and sprayed it like napalm on the enemy's ships. And the Muslims had no defense for this. They've tried 5 different times to conquer Constantinople, but they ended up having to turn back. And that is where they stopped going into Europe from that direction. Then they went around all of North Africa, crossed the Strait of Gibraltar, and 80,000 Muslims on horseback with their stirrups, with the chain mail covering their horses with their armor, rode like lightning into Spain. The Europeans didn't have horses and they didn't have armor. Again, we're talking in the early 8th century, and the Muslims just swept through Spain, conquered the whole thing, held it for 700 years. Then they crossed the Pyrenees, and they conquered all of southern France, and they were finally stopped at the Battle of Tours in 732 A.D., just 100 years after Muhammad's death. Amazing amount of the world they conquered in such a short time. And the Battle of Tours was an interesting battle. Charles Martel was the general, and he was the grandfather of Charlemagne. And Charles Martel had his 30,000 soldiers compared to the Muslims' 80,000. But Martel did not have any horses and no armor. So he didn't want to wait for the Muslims to attack him in an open field. So he decided to march quietly up the hill from the Muslim camp, and he arranged his men in a big square. And the next day the Muslims tried to charge into it, and they got caught, and then he sent some spies around to free the captives, and then the Muslims went back, and then they killed the commander. But that was the furthest into Europe the Muslims went.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Bill Federer. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses this.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And that's when they began to moderate their religion. In other words, they still were convinced that they were going to conquer Europe, but they figured that it needed to wait until a better time into the future. But when it was stopped from going into Europe, it began to spread eastward. And the Muslims conquered into India and conquered into Russia and even Moscow and into China and then to Indonesia and all the way around to the Far East. And they began to run into the Mongols. Now, the Mongols were a nomadic, warring people. Genghis Khan was the head of the Mongols in the 1300s, and they would ride into town on horseback with their bows, and 100,000 of them would ride into town. They would kill the men, they would take the women, and plunder. And as they began to fight the Muslims, it never occurred to the Mongols to make the Muslims give up their religion. And so the Mongols began to hear about this new religion and realize that they could continue to ride into town, kill the men, take the women, and plunder, only now do it with the blessing of Allah. And so one of the Mongolian tribes, the Turkish Mongols, converted en masse and became Ghazi warriors. They dedicated their whole tribe to becoming a Ghazi warring tribe. And then they began to spread back westward again. Now, the areas of the Muslim world that had been conquered a few hundred years earlier had become somewhat peaceful. There's a saying, when the enemies of Islam are subdued, there is peace. And so all the Christians there had learned how to just live as demi-status, second-class citizens, paying the annual jizya tax. And they're sort of like the Jim Crow laws that we had in the America's South. So that's the way the Christians and Jews were treated. Well, anyway, the Turkish Mongols took over the whole Arab world and then began to cross into Asia Minor. One interesting story, the Seleuk Turks went in the 1100s into part of Asia Minor, which is today Turkey, and they would kill the Christians, turn the churches into mosques, and the people there dug up the bones of their most famous Byzantine Christian saint, Saint Nicholas. And they shipped his bones over to Italy, to Western Europe, which was a big deal because the two weren't talking to each other. They had the Great Schism, where the Roman Catholic Pope excommunicated the Byzantine Patriarch, and he responded in kind. But anyway, they shipped the bones of their most famous Byzantine saint, Saint Nicholas, over to Italy. And this introduced Italy and Europe and Germany and Western Europe to the traditions of the gift-giving on the anniversary of St. Nicholas's death. And it was the Dutch that brought those traditions to America, and the Dutch pronounced St. Nicholas Sant Niklaas. And so if you say Sant Niklaas a couple times, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, that's where you get Santa Claus from. But it highlights the fact we wouldn't have a Santa Claus if it wasn't for a jihad back in the 1100s. Anyway, the one Turkish sultan decided to destroy the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which was the church that was over the tomb. It was built by Constantine's mom. And then he began to persecute the religious pilgrims that had been submitted and gone over there. And so when they began to invade into Asia Minor, the Byzantine emperor begged the West, swallowed his pride, and begged the West for help. Now, you have to remember that the Byzantine Empire thought of themselves as the true inheritors of Christianity. That's where the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation were. They were all in Asia Minor. They were all wiped out by the Muslims. The Apostle John spoke there. The Apostle Paul spoke there. They spoke Greek, which was the language of the New Testament. And they viewed the Latin West as sort of, you know, upstarts. So one of the sultans was Murat the First. And Murat had a unique way of building his army. When he would conquer a Christian city or village or town, he would not only take their money and their grain, he would take their boys from 7 to 14 years old. It was called the Dev Shirma, or the blood tax, the child tax, the Dev Shirma. And they would take these children and force them to become Muslims, indoctrinate them, and then train them in the military and put them on the front lines when they would attack the next Christian city. So they would use the children of the Christians to attack the Christians. And they were called Janissaries, which meant new soldier. And the Janissaries had to look to the Sultan as their father. They could not marry. They were not allowed to grow full beards, only mustaches. They had to wear white hats into battle. They couldn't go home after the battle was over. They had to just train, and the delegate was...
You're going to have to hold out there, Bill. We'll be back in just a moment with William Federer here at Genesis.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com. or call 877-300-7645.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Do you know the fastest way to learn a new language?
Memorization?
We always did translation.
Is it drills?
The world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language is Rosetta Stone software. It doesn't waste your time with tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Instead, it teaches you a new language the same way you learned your first language. And right now, you can experience it for yourself because Rosetta Stone is offering a free demo CD-ROM. Check out the easiest, fastest way to learn the language of your choice. For the free CD-ROM, call 1-800-441-3955. Discover what U.S. diplomats, NASA, and over 10,000 schools already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a language guaranteed. Choose from 29 languages and request your free CD-ROM today. You'll be amazed at what you learn. Just call 1-800-441-3955. Request your free CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone by calling 1-800-441-3955. That's 1-800-441-3955.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Petter. We're talking about the history of the Muslim religion, and of course, it's extremely militant form of religion. And of course, the people there in the Byzantine Empire, and people have to forgotten, but the Catholic Church split into two parts. I mean, one was in the Eastern, and they were Eastern Orthodox, and then the Western were the Roman Catholic. So about what year was this you're talking about, Bill?
1054 was when the Great Schism happened, and it was over two words in the Nicene Creed. And not to belittle the importance of doctrine, but compared to the Muslims who were killing them, they were relatively minor. And one of the groups of the Muslims at the time were the assassins, and Marco Polo from the 1200s, 1250s, Marco Polo went from Venice, Italy, over and worked for Kublai Khan, that Mongolian emperor, for 24 years. Marco Polo tells about one of the Muslim generals who had started a group called the Hashashins, and what they would do is they would get somebody and put him into a life-threatening situation, and then without him knowing about it, they would slip some hashish into his drink or whatever, and he or smoking it, and the person would start being delusional. And then they would kidnap him and put him into a harem, and he would experience all of that pleasure, and then he would pass out, and then they'd bring him back to where he was before, and he would wake up, and they said, oh, you had a vision, you went to heaven, and if you die in a jihad killing the enemy, then you'll go back to that place. And so this person, convinced of that, would take his dagger under his cloak and sneak into the enemy's camp, and where the enemy thought they were safe, and he'd pull the dagger out and kill his enemy right there in his own camp. And so these Hashashins, the word later got pronounced assassins, and that was the early version of a suicide bomber, where you'd go into the camp of your enemies and commit terror. The Murat the First would take the boys away from the Christian families and force them to become Muslim soldiers. If the boys were handsome, they went into the Muslim pederasty, their homosexual culture. And the sultans not only could have 100 wives, they viewed boys as spoils of war. And they had no qualms about that. And for 400 years, the Muslim pederasty was a rampant part, castrations and all that. You can read about some of it in the Arabian Nights novels. But anyway, with the help of the Janissaries, those Christians who were forced to become Muslim soldiers, the Muslims under Mehmet II, this is the Sultan Mehmet II, in the year 1453, he conquers Constantinople. Constantinople by this time was a 1,000-year-old Christian city, started by Constantine, who legalized Christianity. It was the richest city in the world. It was where Europe and Asia met, and where Rome had fallen in 476 AD, and then all those invading tribes came in. Constantinople didn't. It was still the Roman Empire. But it's interesting, because Mehmet II wanted to get his hands on the most powerful military technology of the day, gunpowder. They had corned gunpowder that was very powerful, but it blew up the little wooden type things they used as cannons, which basically were fireworks. And so he needed somebody who knew metallurgy, which was a brand new art. And there was a Hungarian cannon maker who offered his services to Constantinople, but they couldn't afford to pay him, because the Fourth Crusade from the Western Roman Empire, instead of attacking the Muslims, attacked the Byzantine Christians and basically raped and pillaged Constantinople and left its defenses totally destroyed. Anyway, Constantinople could not afford to pay this Hungarian cannon maker, so he defects and works for the Sultan Mehmet II, and he builds the largest cannons in the world. He takes the church bells from all the Byzantine churches they destroyed, melts them down, and one cannon was 27 feet long, and it could shoot a 1,200-pound stone cannonball over a mile. It took him 120 to 140 days to drag the cannon to the walls of Constantinople. But I just can't help but pass up the analogy of the Russian nuclear scientists that can't afford to get paid, and they defect, and they work for the guy in Iran who wants to build the largest cannons in the world, only without gunpowder. It's nuclear power. Then Constantinople had to struggle with the globalists of the day. These were the Venetian and Genoan city-states, that Venice and Genoa would actually trade with the Muslims and trade military goods to the Muslims that they knew were going to be used against the Christians in Byzantine Constantinople. But they didn't care about preserving Western civilization. They just wanted to make a buck. And so with the help of these weapons, and with the Western technology, the metallurgy, the cannon maker, Mehmet II finally conquered Constantinople in 1453, came in there and they raped all the convents and nuns. I mean, it was terrible. But during the siege, a lot of the Greek scholars fled. And the Greek scholars fled to Italy, to Venice, to Florence, and began the Renaissance. What is the Renaissance? A rebirth, the rediscovery of the Greek classics. And also, when the Byzantine Empire fell, it cut off the land trade routes from Western Europe to India and China. I mentioned earlier how Marco Polo went from Venice over to China and worked for Kublai Khan. It's because they had these land trade routes across the Gobi Desert. But the Muslims would raid all the caravans, and then they would kill the Christians. And then finally, when Constantinople fell, it cut off these land trade routes. And so Western Europeans were trying to find an alternative route to trade with India and China, and a guy named Columbus said, I know a shortcut, in 1492, he said, sail west. And he thought the islands he discovered were around India, so he named the inhabitants the Indians. But it highlights the fact that Columbus would have never set sail had not the Muslims had a jihad in 1453 and conquered Constantinople. Anyway, the Muslims continued to spread. Mehmet II, by the way, had conquered into Romania, parts of Bulgaria, and parts of Poland and Hungary, and captured Vlad II of Romania and wanted to make him a vassal king and took his two sons away from him, Radu and Vlad III. Now, Radu was handsome, and so he became a boy lover for Mehmet II, but Vlad III evidently wasn't handsome, and he was imprisoned and tortured and terrorized and for years. When he finally escaped, he went back to Romania, found his way to become the king again of that province, and when the Muslims would attack, he would attack back. And he stopped them by trying to out-terrorize the terrorists. And he learned the terror from when he was in prison all those years. And so at one place around the Black Sea, the Muslims were invading. Vlad III had impaled, which was a typical Muslim torture. Vlad III impaled 20,000 Muslims. And when the Muslims came through, they were shocked and terrorized. They lost the heart and they turned back. And so Vlad III was nicknamed Vlad the Impaler. And he had been part of the Order of St. George of the Dragon Slayer that the Hungarian king Sigmundsson had started. And they considered the Muslim Sultan the dragon. And so they wanted to slay the dragon. And a couple battles, people snuck into one of the Sultan's tents and killed him and so forth. But this was another Sultan. But the Romanian word for dragon is Dracula. And so Vlad the Impaler was a member of the Order of Dracula. And so now you get to see where the beginnings of that folklore came from. He didn't drink any blood, though. That was made up from that 19th century author. But anyway, the Muslims continued to attack into Europe. In 1571 was the largest sea battle, the furthest west the Muslims went on sea. They had conquered all of Greece by this time. And the West, one of the unusual times, Dr. Stan, whenever the Christians were in division, the Muslims advanced. So when the Byzantine and Roman Catholic Christians were in division, that allowed Mehmet II to conquer Constantinople. But 100 years later, it was the Protestant Reformation had just begun. And so you had some countries siding with other countries, or siding with the Muslims, because they thought it would keep the other religion in check. And but one of the unique periods, the Battle of Lepanto in 1571, we had 30,000 Muslims and 250 ships. 15,000 Christians were under the decks rowing the ships, but the united European force came. The Muslims controlled all of the southern Mediterranean, all of the eastern Mediterranean, all of the northern Turkey, all of Greece, the whole Yugoslavia coast, and they controlled all of Spain. So the only place they didn't control was Italy and France. But then they captured Sicily, and then they were invading into Italy and near Rome itself. And so the Pope called all of Europe to fast and pray. They had out the Holy League under the Don of Austria, and at the Battle of Lepanto, 1571, they finally stopped the Muslims at sea and destroyed 200 out of their 250-some-odd ships. It's interesting, one of the people that had been captured, one of the Christians that had been captured there and taken to Algiers and thrown in the dungeon for 5 years, was finally ransomed back and went back to Spain. His name was Miguel de Cervantes. And Miguel de Cervantes wrote Man of La Mancha, which had Don Quixote in it. So we all are familiar with Don Quixote and Man of La Mancha. Well, that novel was written by Miguel de Cervantes, who had been in that Battle of Lepanto in 1571. Anyway, in 1600, a English young adventurer soldier left England, went to Hungary, and fought the Muslims. His name was John Smith. And fascinating story about how he had, they were trying to retake a fortress the Muslims had captured, and the Muslims had chopped off the heads of all the Christians and hung them like ornaments over the side. And they decided to challenge the besieging Christians who tried to get the fort back to a David and Goliath type of battle. And so they told the Christians to pick their best soldier, and they would pick their best, and John Smith was the one that was picked, and he won. He chopped off the Muslim's head, and he did it to the Muslim's friend and a third one a little bit later. And so then John Smith became a captain and fought in several battles, and even one where they were defeated, he was left on the battlefield for dead, and he was captured, taken as a slave down to Constantinople. He was beaten and put out in the field to thrash grain and fed garbage, and one day his master was beating him, and nobody was around. He rose up, killed his master, dressed himself in his master's clothes, buried the guy's body in the straw, took the master's horse and a bag of grain, rode off for 3 weeks into Russia. And there a Muscovite garrison took the iron ring off his neck. He made his way back through Poland, back to Transylvania, fought the Muslims some more, then went down to the Mediterranean and fought the Muslim Barbary pirates for several years. Then finally, in 1605, Captain John Smith made his way back to England. And in 1606, Captain John Smith left to help found the first permanent English settlement in the New World, Jamestown. And in 2007, Jamestown is celebrating its 400-year anniversary of being founded by Captain John Smith. So it's almost like Paul Harvey. Now you know the rest of the story there. But then a little bit later, in 1683, 200,000 Muslims surround Vienna, Austria. And there were only 10,000 Habsburg Austrian defenders. And the Muslims fought for two reasons, plunder and religion. And plunder, they got to keep the women. You know, Muhammad would say things like, married women are forbidden unto you, except those taken in battle. And, of course, Muhammad had 15 wives and all the other concubines and so forth. And so the Muslims thought if they could just starve out the inhabitants, they could get the plunder without it being damaged. And so as they waited 3 months, that gave time for the Polish king, Jan Sobieski, time to gather 80,000 Germans and Poles and Hungarians. And on September 11th, 1683, Jan Sobieski came over the hill and surprised the Muslims and came down in a battle. The battle only lasted a half an hour, surprised them so fast they fled and left their tents in place. And as the Christians went into the tents, they found bags of beans, coffee beans. And they realized this was how the Muslims could fight day and night, and shortly thereafter opened the first Vienna. And so the coffee spread across Europe, but people don't really realize that coffee came from the Muslims. And then the bakers that were there in Vienna that were watching the baking the bread for the soldiers, one night before the siege took place, heard some rumbling. And so they told the soldiers who dug, found that Muslims were tunneling under the city. They blew up the tunnel. After the battle, they were going to reward the baker for warning them about the tunnel. And he said, no, just give me sole permission to cook a pastry in the shape of the Muslim crescent to celebrate our victory over the Muslims. And it got pronounced the croissant. And so now we know where that little pastry came from. But the Muslims continued to spread into Bulgaria. In 1717, another English adventurer soldier left. His name was James Oglethorpe. And three times the Muslims had conquered the Serbian capital of Belgrade and leveled the place and dug up the bones of their Saint Sava, their famous saint, and destroyed them, because there's a verse in the Quran that says, destroy every high grave. And so they would dug up bones of the Christian saints and defile them. And anyway, the Serbian Orthodox Archbishop led 100,000 Serbians to migrate to Hungary and into Austria. But this young English soldier's name was James Oglethorpe. He fought the Muslims there, that took back Belgrade. The Muslims won it back later, but nevertheless, James Oglethorpe went back to England and shortly thereafter entered Parliament and then decided to start a colony in the New World for prisoners and debtors and persecuted religious people, and he called the colony Georgia. And so now we know where Virginia and Georgia came from, as the founders had fought the Muslims earlier. Anyway, fast forward ahead to when we become a nation, and Thomas Jefferson's the president. And Thomas Jefferson was the first ambassador prior to him being president.
I want to interrupt you there because we're running out of time, and I want you to tell our listeners about your website and how they can get your book. In fact, why don't you send me a copy of your book? We will probably carry the book. It sounds fascinating. I love history, and this sounds like an amazing, amazing story. How can people get copies of your book? How can they get hold of your website?
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com, and then there's a toll-free telephone number, 1-888-USA-WORD, 1-888-USA-WORD. But it's just phenomenal when you go through and you see the 1,400-year history. They only get peaceful when they're militarily stopped, and then they go back to governing their own house and thinking, well, we'll conquer the rest when in the distant future, and then when they start seeing that future come to pass is when they move into the more violent mode.
Well, we're going to have to actually get you on some evening, spend 2 hours going through the whole story. And of course, our guest is William Federer, and he's one of our close friends. Love to hear him tell the stories. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
that he was actually possessed. And it certainly gives the background of a satanic verse for which Salman Rushdie had a fatwa put out on him that they were going to kill him. Why? Because he told the truth about what it says in the Quran. The four-tape set, Prophet of Doom, is a must listening for anybody who wants to understand the Muslim faith. We also carry a book by Lester Summerall. It goes into Jihad, the Holy War Time Bomb. That's Jihad, the Holy War Time Bomb. And of course, we've got an awful lot of material on the Muslim faith. If you'd like to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. But then, of course, should we be going to war with the whole Muslim world? And my contention is that there's a plan to draw us into a war, a clash of civilizations. And that's why you really need, of course, to read my story, Foreknowledge 911. Because it's very important that you understand what happened that day. So we have three little pamphlets, a summation of about 15 of my newsletters. And then, of course, we have some four-tape sets, a 911, 911 update. Why did the buildings fall? I think that's so important for you to know. And then, of course, we have five DVDs, 911 Press for the Truth, 911 Mysteries, 911 in Plain Sight, Terror Storm, and The Day That Changed the World Forever. And it's a special. You can get them all at a very, very special reduced price, or you can get them individually. But we recommend these DVDs, and we recommend you understand that so much of what's going on has simply been contrived. You need to understand who it is who's been funding this whole radical movement. And, of course, it's, well, the Central Intelligence Agency has created the best enemy money could buy. Not that there's not growing militancy in the Muslim world, because there really is. And it, unfortunately, we are being manipulated into a war of civilizations that is ultimately aimed at destroying the United States of America. And you say, why would anybody want to do that? Why? Because there are people who hate our country. Let me suggest the book, The Devil's Game. That's The Devil's Game. It's available from Radio Liberty. Let me suggest that you think about getting 911, the four-tape set, 911 update, and then, of course, why did the buildings fall? I mean, that's a fascinating four-tape set, and you'll hear the interviews with William Rodriguez, and in the 911 update, you'll hear my interviews with Jimmy Walters, and these are things you're not going to hear elsewhere. And you'll begin to understand that so much of what's going on is contrived. But it's not going to matter when our cities are in ruins and our, many of our carriers have been sunk, and we're going to be forced into this war that nobody wants. The Iranian people don't want it. The Muslim people don't want it. The American people don't want it. But there is a group that does want it. You'll certainly want to read our February 2007 newsletter. It's available at RadioLiberty.com. That's our website, RadioLiberty.com. If you don't have access to the Internet, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be glad to provide you a free copy. But, of course, if you've got access to the Internet, please go up there and pull it down on your own, because it costs us a couple of dollars before we can get this off to you. So remember our number, it's 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs live 3 hours a day. And, of course, we're on another couple of hours, and we hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family and become part of our effort to educate the American people about the spiritual forces behind what's going on in the world today. We'll be right back.
Blackwork purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of clear digital audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, it may be your views as well, because right now, of course, we're going to perhaps be doing open lines. Our regularly scheduled guest is not answering his phone, and so we're probably going to just say, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and so if you'd like to give us a call while we're trying to get things sorted out, things never quite work the way they're supposed to, but let's just figure that right now we're going to be doing an open line program here for this hour. And certainly at the end of the last hour, we were talking about how this whole radical Muslim movement has been engineered from its very beginning. Not that the Muslim faith is not a violent faith, but this was more or less latent, and there were very, very few radical Muslims anywhere in the world until 1979, 1980, when the CIA began recruiting radical Muslims from all over the world to come to fight for jihad as Mujahideen in Afghanistan and fight against the infidels. And then, of course, we find that, of course, that the USAID, United States Agency for International Development, put out $52 million to actually print up textbooks that were to be used in the madras of the radical Islamic schools to indoctrinate the youth of the Muslim world in the radical form of Islam. Now, I want to ask you as a logical person, why in the world would the United States Agency for International Development, do such a thing? Why would you try to indoctrinate the youth with this radical form of Islam? You don't want this to come back and have a resurgence of this radical form of Islam, or is that what it was really all about? And now, if any of you out there in the listening audience doubt what we're saying, you can give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of an article that came out of all things the Washington Post, entitled The ABCs of Jihad. It's a very important issue. You'll actually find references to this up on the Internet, and you can look it up, but I will be glad to verify it for you. So this whole thing was really financed by your CIA. And in fact, if you get the book, The Devil's Game, this goes into the funny of this over a period of the better part of 100 years, first of all by the MI6, British Intelligence, and then later on by the Central Intelligence Agency. Why would you try to, create a radical form of Islam, a resurgence of this radical, really, I believe, satanically motivated religion? Well, if you're going to have a war, you have to have an enemy. And this is my fear, that we are being manipulated into a clash of civilizations. And you really need, of course, to get Samuel Huntington's book by that title, or the article he wrote for Foreign Affairs magazine, and see Samuel Huntington's warning not to do everything that we're doing today. How could our leaders be so blind and so foolish unintentionally? Well, we're going to be back here. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And this is one of those afternoons when, of course, our regularly scheduled guest just did not show up. And, of course, where our alternative guest is not available. And so it's just going to be you and me, and I have nothing really prepared to talk about. So we welcome your calls from here in the central Monterey Bay or from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or at 464-8295. And I was simply pointing out my very, very deep concern that we are on the edge of a major war with the Muslim world. Now, right now, of course, most people are more concerned about, I mean, what's going to happen to Anna Nicole Smith's baby? Who's going to win the NBA title? Will Barry Bonds be able to break the all-time hit a home run the record that was established many years ago, and other important issues of this sort? Well, you have to understand that our reality is manipulated by those people who control the media. And we think about the things that they want us to think about, and we concentrate and we focus our attention on the things that we're told actually to be concerned about. And, but the really important things, the events that are unfolding in the Middle East today, and the Near East that are going to influence your children and your grandchildren and the world for hundreds of years to come are unfolding over there, and hardly a mention at all of what's going on. And the very real potential that America will be involved in a war that will start out simply with Iran but eventually expand to the entire Islamic world. And we're talking about here within 3 or 4 months, the word we have is the figure by July or August. We're just not hearing about that. And I'm going to sort of summarize some of the things that we were learned earlier this week from a gentleman that has strong ties to the intelligence community. He's appears regularly on Radio Liberty. His name is John Quirk. And John had just gotten back on Monday from a sojourn in the Near East and certainly in Paris, as he was debriefing people from Central Asia about what is really going on over there. And, of course, if you look at Iran today, the vast majority of the Iranian people do not want a war. And certainly we know the vast majority of the American people don't want a war, but some people in our government do and will be. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and, of course, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And my concern is we are on the verge of a massive expansion of the war in the Middle East. Now, the Republicans lost control of Congress and the Senate because people are disillusioned with the current situation in the Middle East. And I would dare say that fully 60 to 70, maybe even 80% of the American people do not under any circumstances want to expand the war in the Middle East into a war with Iran and then with the rest of the Muslim world. But it would appear that there are people within the Islamic government of Iran, and there are people within our government who have an entirely different agenda. And just as it was at the time of the Spanish-American War, when most Americans really didn't want to go in and slaughter a lot of Filipinos, and during the Philippine-American War that was fought from 1898 until about 1902, we killed, as a direct result of our intervention, and of course the problems that occur in any war, between 200,000 and 1.5 million Filipinos. Nobody really knows because nobody really cares. And then, of course, we had no reason to get involved in the First World War. And after the First World War, when the American people learned that all of the propaganda and all the lies we'd been told about how the Huns were cutting off the hands of the little Belgian boys and the breasts of the Belgian women, all of these had been made up because the media was controlled at the time of the First World War. The American people were determined not to go into the Second World War until, of course, we were forced into that war as well. And we were told, oh, we've got to get into the Second World War, how terrible Adolf Hitler is. And he was terrible, but they never pointed out is that almost his entire war machine was built up by American corporations who were over there producing the weapons for him, not only before the war, but during the war itself. and even some of our great banks and some of our great names of great families were involved in helping Adolf Hitler during the war. And of course, the Japanese kept trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. And there was no need to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki or invade Iwo Jima or Okinawa. All totally unnecessary. And if you want to challenge that, we'll be glad to send you an article that we got from the Chicago Times on the very day we signed the peace treaty in the harbor there in Tokyo on the battleship Missouri. And they point out that they'd known for 6 months the Japanese have been trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. Well, let's go first of all. We've got Jim calling in from Missouri on population control, but let me just share my thoughts, and if you listen to our programs regularly, you'll learn more about what's really going on. If you want to know why our leaders and the Iranian leaders are intent upon war in the Middle East and expanding the war with Iran, you'll certainly want to read my February 2007 Radio Liberty letter. It's up there on the internet, radioliberty.com. I go to February 2007 newsletter, pull it down. If you can't get it run, give us a call. We'll send you one free of charge. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. But right now, let's go to Jim in Missouri, who was asking about population control. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I've, of course, read your population control monograph and the American Stonehenge articles on your website.
Right.
It seems as if there is a lot of talk in the media all of a sudden about population. And I wondered if you thought that was all just coincidental or if it was something else.
Oh, no, no. They focus our attention on the things they want us to focus on. There are too many people in the world. We're going to have to do something about all the people in the world. And this is really a cover for the genocidal programs that are being carried out, not only here in the United States, but in the third world countries as well. We're slaughtering the people in the third world country. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm pointing out that certainly it was in 1973 that the United States banned the use of DDT in this country and encouraged other countries to stop using it. Now, malaria is pretty well controlled in America, the United States by 73. It's rampant throughout the rest of the world, where between 300 million and 500 million people contract the disease every year, and about 3 million people die. Now, they tell us only a million people die, but you can go up on the internet and check out the figure, 3 million, you'll find that's a real figure. So we have killed in the neighborhood of about 100 million people over the last 34 years since we banned DDT. And now the World Health Organization is saying, oh, we just found out that it really is not that dangerous to use. We can spray the, rooms twice a year, and we could cut back on 80% of the people contracting malaria. Gee, maybe we ought to start doing that. So they've relied all the time about the dangers of DDT, and we have got a great four-tape set that goes into the background of that with one of the world's leading experts on DDT. It's the safest of all insecticides and pesticides, safer than most of what we have today. So, I mean, and then, of course, we're going to immunize all those little black children against infectious diseases, and we're going to use the vaccine that we're not allowed to use here in America, laden with thimerosal. And then, of course, the AIDS virus has a predilection for blacks. That's why here in the United States, the incidence of the disease is almost 6 to 8 times more frequent in blacks as it is in white, and in places like Botswana, where, of course, they check all of the pregnant women for HIV disease, about 46%. Or HIV infected and got to die. And if that was accidental, if that was just a mistake of public health policy, they would change the public health policy. If it was a genocidal policy, they would continue what they're doing. And guess what? They're doing what they're doing. Go ahead.
Well, I heard on Science Friday about a year ago on NPR, they were talking about HIV, and they were pointing out that there are two specific gene mutations that make it very hard for a person to contract HIV.
If you're white, not
and
if you're black.
Coincidentally, 90% of the people that have those two mutations are white.
Right. And you see, the black doesn't have that. And that's why they're so much more susceptible. This is a genetically altered or created organism with a predilection for blacks. We have the ability to make these. They knew exactly what they were doing when they made it.
I've heard Don Scott on your program.
Right.
Does he think that they took the pathogenic part of the brucellosis bacterium and put in some genes from the Vishnu virus for sheep?
I'm not sure of what his thoughts are. I know that he thinks it came from the Vishnu virus. That's the HIV. But remember, there are two components to the AIDS, to the, this disease. One of them is HIV. The other is mycoplasm, a genetically altered mycoplasm. And, of course, at least 90% of the people who have AIDS have this genetically altered mycoplasm. And of course, they never tell the doctors here in the United States. And yet that's the position of Luc Montagnier, who discovered the virus. Most of what the American doctors know about the disease just isn't true. I mean, this is a dual disease, part mycoplasm, part HIV. And there are treatments for it that are being intensely withheld.
I would like to say one other thing before I go. And I heard you mention Rainbow Six so many times. I went back, I reread it. I had read it when it first came out. And candidly, it makes more sense now with all the talk about the global warming and, of course, reading some of your material.
And, for our listeners, of course, that's the Tom Clancy shoot 'em up, scare 'em to death, fast-moving novel. But I think that everybody should read Rainbow Six because in the foreword to that novel, Tom Clancy says there's information in this novel that's true and the government doesn't want you to know. And it's all about sustainable development and population control. And a group of people who believe there are too many people in the world and the way we're going to control the population is with an epidemic, and then, of course, everybody's going to rush to take the vaccine, which the government's going to offer. And that's when they're all going to be killed. Isn't that an amazing story?
It really is. It's a really good book, too.
Well, it really is. And, Tom Clancy's a great writer, but he uses fiction many times to tell you what you really need to know. And when I say these sort of things, people look a little askance and say, nothing could be that evil. There could not be people out there who want to kill off billions of people in the world. When Tom Clancy says it, and this is what he's really saying in that book, Rainbow Six, people say, yeah, of course, that's a great story. But there really are evil and wicked people who have a different worldview. So anything else you want to say before we let you go, Jim?
Just one more thing. I trust what I hear from you a lot more than Tom Clancy.
Well, no, Clancy's a good man,
I know. I understand. I just mean, I know I'm not the general public, but I would trust something I hear from you before him. But I know what you mean, though. That's that perceived validation.
Right, absolutely. In fact, Michael Crichton's book on global warming is excellent. He's written a book, I've forgotten the title of it, but it's all about
State
global warming.
State of Fear.
Pardon?
State of Fear.
State of Fear, and that's a great book. He brings out so many important things. So, these people understand what's going on, and this is how they are reaching the people who are involved in a battle of ideas. And most people don't even know the battle is going on, but thank goodness for Michael Crichton. Thank goodness for Tom Clancy. And thank goodness for you, too, Jim.
Well,
I appreciate
you
calling. And please get all those people there in Missouri listening, will you?
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Thanks very much. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. And we're going to be going to Dave, who's been waiting patiently from Illinois. But give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is open line, so we'll talk about what you want to and right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan and Dave calling from Illinois. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have Dave who's calling us from Illinois, and he says, you know, he drives around in Illinois. What part of Illinois do you live in, Dave?
Central Illinois.
Central Illinois. He says he sees so many of the businesses, small businesses, just going out of business. He says, you know, he's got relatives who came from Michigan, and Michigan is dying, especially Detroit. That's true. I mean, you can buy a house there a lot cheaper than you can buy a car. And, you know, in fact, a lot of those homes are going up for auction, and, you know, the wood in the house is worth a lot more than is being bid on them. Nobody wants the houses because nobody has the money, you know, to buy them. Nobody has the money to rent them. The economy is certainly contracting. And certainly in some areas of the country, the economy is maintaining itself. but in so many areas it isn't. And David was saying, but the stock market's going up, but that doesn't reflect what's really happening in America. And that really is true of the stock market's going up, because some of the corporations that are invested overseas, in other words, they are manufacturing overseas, are still making good profits. Some of our companies certainly are still doing fairly well, especially those that have a tie into government, those that are associated with the military, those that are associated with the pharmaceutical industry, which is, of course, raping the people and, of course, being subsidized by our federal government. Certainly government employees continue doing well. I mean, they get all sorts of special benefits, much more so than the average person out here who's working for a living and, of course, is having to pay the taxes to support the government employees. But, of course, I believe that we are certainly on the verge of some very serious consequences, Dave, because if what I believe is right, and that is that we're going into a war with Iran, why, you're going to see gasoline going up to $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 a gallon. And, of course, that is really going to have a profound impact on our economy. And I think it's only a matter of time before that happens. How soon is it going to happen? I don't know. But I do believe that the leaders of our country at the present time are intent upon expanding the war in the Middle East. Unfortunately, the leaders of Iran have exactly the same desire for maybe perhaps different reasons. But under any circumstances, if there is a war in the Middle East, I hope nobody listening to the program really thinks that we're going to escape without tragic consequences to the stability of our country and the infrastructure and, of course, to our economy. So I agree with you. I'm very, very concerned. Do you have any other thoughts, Dave?
Yeah. Around here, it's a mixed bag. They've been building homes like crazy. Of course, I think a lot of sub-market loans, subprime market, they call it, but it is kind of a mixed bag, as they're building like homes like crazy, but their business is closing. It really makes no sense at all. It's psychotic, you know. But one more comment about last night. On I was watching Robert Zoellick, who I guess was in the part of the Clinton administration. He was head to some economic advisor or something like that. He was a guest on that. What's the guy's name that does the talk show late at night for PBS? I can't remember his name right now. But he interviews, this guy does an interviewing show. Anyway, Robert Zoellick was saying how, he's a flaming liberal. He was talking about how America must help the world, so that's where the superpower, you know. Well, Dr. Stan, when these guys talk that way, they're not talking away out of any goodness of their heart. The politicians want power, the bureaucrats want power, and big business wants profits. And that's what's all about, Dr. Stan. When our so-called leaders of the business, both the government and the corporate world, when they talk about helping the world, they just want to line their own pockets. What do you think?
Well, I think that some of them do. Certainly, we would be very, very foolish not to acknowledge the fact that there are many of the people who talk a great deal about concern and compassion who are motivated by greed. But there is this other component. There are the people who actually have this dream of creating a new world order and a new world religion with a new world leader. And so, certainly, if they can make a profit along the way, fine. But that is their primary goal and their primary motivation. Now, certainly, you know, as we're looking and seeing, the housing market is contracting. The economy is really in shambles. America has become the greatest debtor nation in the world. And despite the fact we're the greatest debtor nation in the world, and having to borrow about $2 billion every day from other countries, and about $3.5 billion, including what we borrow from the American people, you know, to buy bonds. We continue giving, you know, massive amounts of money to Russia, massive amount of money to the totalitarian former Soviet Union, states of the former Soviet Union. We encourage this massive, of course, building in communist China, and, of course, one day, why, China will be the finest enemy that money could buy. Yeah, hang on there. We'll be right back. And again, give us a call if you're out there in the listening audience. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have Dave calling from Illinois, who thinks that the people are primarily motivated by greed, and many of them are. Many of them are making a great deal of money, that many of these people who talk about helping people in the third world countries are simply doing this as a means of exploitation. And people who have not read John Perkins' books, Confession of an Economic Hitman, that's Confession of an Economic Hitman, or heard my four-tape interview, Economic Hitman, my interviews with John Perkins, really need to get that to see how the game is really played. Right now, of course, we have the World Bank funding things all throughout the world. But what we're really doing, of course, is putting nations throughout the world into debt so we can control them. And then, of course, we have the International Monetary Fund that's doing the same thing. We have the Export-Import Bank. We have the United States Agency for International Development. We have the Far Eastern Development Bank. And we have all of these organizations that are pouring out billions, countless billions of dollars, to build up the economy of the rest of the world so that these countries can compete more effectively with us, so that their living standards will be raised and our living standards will be lowered, which doesn't really make sense unless these people are motivated by a different agenda and a different goal, and that is what my belief is. So it's partly greed, but it is also partly this desire to make this new and utopian world that energizes many of these people. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and one more comment, Dr. Stan. You know, again, like most parts of the country, except for areas that have already been hit too hard, you drive around my town, and people driving SUVs and talking cell phones, life seems to be good, life seems to be wonderful, they seem to make a lot of money. But I know you can't ask this question, but here's what I want to know. I have to ask God to find the answer, but when is that going to change? You know, when is the party be over? When are all these people with SUVs going to be on 10 speeds? When the cell phones going to crash? I mean, when is this utopia going to come to crashing in because of the fact that we are becoming an impoverished nation, where we are absolutely buried in debt, more so every month, and the party just cannot last forever. And I'm just wondering, when is the party going to be over?
Well, I will tell you that people are a lot smarter than I am. Say it's about a year and a half to 2 years. And this is coming from places like the Carlyle Group. This is what Bob Chapman is saying, and I think this is really what the financial experts who are being honest are saying. So we probably have another year and a half, this is Dr. Stan back here. Open lines, if you'd like to give us a call. Our number is 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. But Dave is on the line calling from Illinois, and he asks, when is the party going to be over? Right now we have all the people driving around in their big fancy cars, and of course they've got their cell phones, and they're spending money like it's going out of style, and most of it really is, of course, borrowed money. They really don't have, I mean, some people have a lot of money they've made in their investments, but a lot of people are simply living on borrowed money. And Dave asked me, when does the party end? And, of course, I would reply that there are people a lot smarter than I am who say it's got to be about a year and a half to 2 years. Why? Well, Carlyle Group has made this, and of course, Carlyle people are pretty smart. Bob Chapman has looked at this. Some of the people who are analyzing what's happening monetarily are looking at this. They're keeping everything going at the present time, certainly by expanding the money supply. They're just pouring out. They're creating all this money out of nothing. And, you know, if you and I went out and we were going to just borrow money right and left, well, we could live pretty well, too. The only trouble is someday you have to pay the money back. Either that, of course, you destroy the value of money, and then you destroy the whole system, which they may very well have in the back of their minds. But right now it looks like it's going to be about a year and a half or so, maybe 2 years. And then they're going to have to start tightening down on the monetary supply. And at that point, why, of course, the party will be over. And, of course, I believe it could happen much, much sooner if we get into this war in the Middle East that I fear, and the price of gasoline goes up to $6 or $8 a gallon.
Well, Dr. Stan, thanks for your time.
Okay, well,
someone else can take, have a turn here.
Thanks very much for calling. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Harvey, who's calling from Florida. Harvey has a question or a comment on the AIDS epidemic. Go ahead, Harvey.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. You know, I was I used to study quite a bit about the AIDS epidemic, and I know that you're an expert in the field. And what is your thinking about the timing in the 70s, about the same time they were doing all kinds of research that was knocking out the immune system for transplants?
Oh, I think that they learned how to create new diseases. This was really part of a CIA operation, and they actually hired scientists from all over the country to work on these programs to create new diseases. And one of them, and we know exactly what they intended to do, because a Dr. Donald MacArthur, or David MacArthur, testified before the House Appropriations Committee back in either June or July of 1969, and we have his testimony completely, where he asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there will be no immune response. And he goes on to say, some people say we shouldn't do this because it will be another form of mass killing, but we want the $10 million. We want to build it. It'll take us 10 years and $10 million, and they got the $10 million, and 10 years later, we had the AIDS epidemic. And that's exactly what they'd asked for, to create a disease for which there'd be no immune response.
Right, but, you know, I understand. I know it was definitely a man-made retrovirus, but doesn't it seem odd that, I mean, the exact timing was the same exact time they were doing all kinds of research into knocking out the immune system so they could do all kinds of body part transplants?
Well really, they're sort of working through different mechanisms, you know, as far as suppressing the immune system, you know, with drugs artificially. But certainly this is all part of the same knowledge. How do you suppress the immune system so that it doesn't function right? So, you know, I think it was all part and parcel of the same program.
I believe so, too. And I just wanted to hear you discuss it.
All right, fine. Do you have anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, it's you know, it seems like it's almost forgotten, the AIDS epidemic, you know. I've had to touch my family recently and in the past, and that's why I started studying it. And it just seems to me that it's almost forgotten.
Well,
all those millions of people that have been killed and will be killed from it.
Well, of course, we never talk about it. I wrote a book, as you recall. It's called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, and it is still the classic book as far as the whole concept of the fact that we could have stopped the epidemic and we were not allowed to, and every barrier was put in the way to keep doctors from doing what was logical to stop the spread of this terrible disease as a direct result of what the CDC did and the government did. Why we've killed a 500,000 Americans, almost half of them black, incidentally. Of course, another million or a million and a half infected. We don't know how many are already out there in this country who have contracted the disease unnecessarily. But throughout the world, somewhere between 30 and 50 million are dead, and another 30 or 40 million infected. And then they've got a wonderful scam. They bring these people out, and they say there is no AIDS epidemic. It's all contrived. There's no AIDS epidemic. It's all a conspiracy to sell the drugs, which are harmful. And in some ways, there's truth to that. Some of the drugs really are very, very harmful. But what they do is they try to get us so confused, we never ask, where did this disease really come from? And probably the best single book on that, we still carry it, is Emerging Viruses by Len Horowitz. He did a great job on that.
And, oh, yes.
Did a tremendous... I'm eternally grateful for him convincing me that I didn't want to believe this. I did not want to believe that anybody would be evil enough to create a disease to kill tens of millions of people. But I believe it's true. And, of course, it led me into a whole different line of research, and it certainly helped to transform my thinking and my life. Anything else you'd like to say, Harvey, before we let you go?
It doesn't seem like anybody's ever held responsible, and you know these genetic engineering companies are still going strong, and they're inventing all kinds of terrible terrible diseases and crossbred animals and people and things. When is this kind of thing going to stop? And why aren't people ever held responsible for these Frankenstein-type experiments?
Because they do not focus our attention on that. They focus our attention on Ann Nicole Smith, and who is the father of her child, and who's going to get the money that's the child is going to inherit. And our attention is directed away from the very real question. Who's responsible for the genocidal AIDS epidemic that has killed so many millions of people throughout the world?
Well, I just thank God there are still people like you that actually care about mankind. And thank you for letting me speak.
God bless. Thanks very much, Harvey. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Scott, who's calling from Hollister. Hi, Scott. Are you seeing those chemtrails up there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, and I've heard programs before with you. And the past 6 months or so, all through the Monterey, Salinas Valley, in the California Central Coast here, for the listeners outside, heavy-duty spraying. Couple weekends back, clear, absolutely bright blue, clear skies, and two passenger jets were just saturating the sky in a crisscross pattern with the chemtrails. And I've noticed, I don't know about up in your area, but in the past 6-7 months, especially over the winter, there was huge amounts of bronchitis going around. Everybody and their brother had the bronchitis and pneumonia going around. And I was just wanted to see what you thought about this this ramped up chemtrail spraying that they've been doing. I was down in L.A. a few months back, and even on the local news, the people up in Arrowhead Mountains were complaining about the chemtrails and the dust and the residue left on their foliage. And they had it independently analyzed and found aluminum and all kinds of stuff in there. So I was just wondering, I wanted to get some input from you about the increase in that.
Well, I no question at all, there is an increase. My wife went down to Las Vegas there with our son for the National Association of Broadcasters. She was saying that down in the valley on the way, of course, you could see the chemtrails. You see, there are a lot of people who think that you and I are crazy, that we believe in black helicopters and we don't believe the government, a story about what happened on 9-1-1. And that's absolutely true. I believe they're black helicopters because I've had many of my friends had visits from them. I'm just waiting for my visit. I haven't had one yet. But apparently it's really rather terrifying when they do come. And when they're looking right in, you do that. An insect with those two big black eyes in front of it. They really are black helicopters. We haven't been told the truth about 9-1-1, and chemtrails are real now. The question is, what are they, and why are we seeing so many more of them now? And we're carrying a very interesting book. It's called Weather Warfare by Jerry Smith, who I think has done a very good job on this. We've got a lot of questions, but we don't have all of the answers now. We do know, of course, that certainly people like Walter Teller and others have thought that this would be a means either in increasing global warming or decreasing it, and they were suggesting spraying this particulate matter and aluminum. Actually, I've seen it on trees come down after heavy spraying. It looks almost like a Christmas tree, and certainly there's no question that this is really very, very real. And these are not ordinarily passenger planes. They're tanker planes going back and forth, and so what they're really doing is creating a canopy up there, and whether they are increasing global warming or decreasing global warming, I can't say. Now, we know that they have a lot of explanations, and we have actually two 4-tape sets on chemtrails, the original 4-tape set and a more recent one. And the one thing that's so interesting is that when the people in the military ask their superior officers what this is about, the question comes back from all across the country. Why we're vaccinating the people, because we want to protect them from disease. So that's the official government line. I don't believe it's true at all, but you got to tell the people in the military something, so you tell them a universal lie. But it is a means of spreading disease, or it may not be a means of spreading disease. Certainly aluminum and barium, and apparently sometimes titanium, are the components of these, and of course some of it may be related to the residual of jet fuel, but there's no question that they're doing this and whether it will be used to spread disease at a later date. Heaven only knows. The one thing I do know is they're not being honest with us. They're concealing the truth. But then why should we be surprised? They lie to us about so many things because we're not smart enough to understand what those people of great intelligence know. And, of course, but the book Weather Warfare, I think Jerry Smith said a very good job, and he tells you exactly what he thinks, and he thinks this may very well be part of a program either to decrease or increase the greenhouse effect of producing global warming.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
It just reminds me of when the United States was first getting into chemical warfare in the 40s, and they did their own little tests, and they put influenza balloons into the air, into the Gulf Stream off of Long Beach, I believe, and then they monitored the hospitals to see how the rate of infected people, you know, came in, and you know, just to their primitive ways back then of chemical warfare, you know, so.
We've got a great report. It's actually put out by the government. We call it the Rockefeller Report, but it was a report put out by the Veterans Administration, a report of the Senate back in 1994, as I remember. But people can order the Rockefeller Report. It's really expensive, but it goes into exactly what you're talking about, all the horrible experiments they've carried out on the American people, in the name of science, of course. But we're from the government, we're here to help, and that's why we're giving you the diseases and poisoning you and exposing you to plutonium and radiation. But it's all in the name of science, just like it was in the fatherland, you know, with Dr. Mengele.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'll end with this. These people that are bringing this harm on children and people and diseases, I just hope their souls burn brightly in the lake of fire at the end. So,
well, what you want to do is pray for them. If you pray that they're going to go to hell, why, of course, then you get angry. Our job,
yeah,
of course, is to manifest in everything we do the love of Christ and pray for them. And who knows, you know, maybe one of them will be touched by your prayers.
Yes.
Anyway, God bless.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much. Well, let's see. We've got Mike on line one. So let's go to Mike in Ottawa. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi. Good to... It was good to hear that you got David McGowan on. Really enjoyed the show.
And we are going to be carrying his book, incidentally, Programmed to Kill, so we'll have it before very long. We can put together a four-tape set on satanic crimes and include that two-hour interview I did with David.
It was a good interview because both of you are well-versed in the topic, and it's such an esoteric topic. He was probably blown away by how much you knew about the topic, and I hope we get him on again because it's 2 hours flew by like... really fast.
For our listeners out there, we had a couple of weeks ago David McGowan. It still may be posted up on the internet, on his book Programmed to Kill, and it's a fascinating book about, of course, some of these are satanic crimes, some of these are certainly our CIA people, and then some of them are just nutty, but they're all energized by evil. And since a number of the original serial killers came from Santa Cruz, where I live, people like Ed Kemper, who was one of my patients, and Mullins, who was killing people right and left, and then, of course, another one who killed a friend of mine, Dr. Odom, and my former secretary, and the whole family here. But there have been so many of these multiple killers, and if you notice, it all seems to have been much more recently, since the CIA has been doing their experiments on mind control. It's so difficult for people to believe that any of this could be, simply a planned program that they know how to program people's minds to kill. But they really do.
Yes, McGowan dug up a lot of links to the military-industrial complex. So many of these murders that are supposedly just satanic, one lone killer turns out it's part of a cult, and then it's gone even further. They'll find out it's linked to military-industrial complex narcotics trafficking, and It gets convoluted, but it's the information is there, the research is there. I've been looking into it a bit myself. I found a link about the BTK killer. I found a lot of interesting stuff about the BTK killer. He was a former Air Force operative. He was with Special Forces in Vietnam, and he BTK, a lot of people thought it was stood for bind, torture, kill. But actually, one of the common phrases for Vietnam Special Forces was born to kill. And a lot of people think that BTK actually stood for born to kill. And what was interesting is a lot of photos have surfaced now of his fantasy life. A lot of his private possessions have made it onto the internet, photographs of things that he was into. He took a lot of photographs of himself in sexual fantasy. He posed for pictures that he would take of himself, and he would dress up in these masks as he would dress as his victims. But the interesting thing is that these masks that he used were similar to the skull and bones masks that they use in the ritual Harvard on a Deer Island.
And that would be at Yale. Yeah, University.
Yeah, sorry, at Yale.
That's
yeah.
All right. I mean, but you're absolutely right. So many strange things are happening. Hey, hang on here for just a minute. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Mike calling from Ottawa. Anything else you want to say before I let you go, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Your Liberty family of supporters. Now, if you'd like to check out what we're talking about, you know, as far as the production of these new diseases, specifically AIDS, we have a book written certainly by one of the leading scientists in America. It's called Project Daylily by Dr. Garth Nicholson, where he touches on the AIDS epidemic and the fact, of course, there are two organisms. One's HIV, the other is mycoplasma. Dr. Nicholson has over 600 peer-reviewed articles and fascinating information. We have a number of interviews with certainly with Don Scott. And then, of course, we actually have in our possession a book called Full Disclosure, written by Gary Null. It goes, you can get this off the Internet, where he tells about his conversations with a man who is part of the group that created this terrible disease that has killed so many people. You go up and buy Internet, pardon my Internet website, and pull down some of the books, the articles I've written on population control. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who have a different worldview, and they see nothing wrong with killing millions of people. Because, after all, aren't there too many people in the world? Isn't it getting too crowded? Wouldn't we be better off if all these people weren't there? You know, using up all the natural resources, and, of course, how do you change things? Why, you kill off large numbers of people through abortion, through euthanasia, creating new diseases and new plagues, through war. If you haven't yet seen my talk on planned population reduction and all the things that they're doing, why, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's the DVD or video, Planned Population Reduction. We have a 4-tape set on population control, which goes into DDT and everything you've been told that isn't true. We have a video on population control. We have a monograph, which is up on my website, called the Population Control Agenda Monograph. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on genocide. We have one on why do we still have cancer. We have one on Laetrile. There's so many different 4-tape sets that we have up there. I think one of the most interesting ones we have is a recent DVD, which I didn't do. It's done by Dr. David Ayoub, and we've recommended to you. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. That's Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, and it's available either in video or in DVD. And if you get it, we give you free of charge a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of research on this subject. David's done a magnificent job, and he simply points out that, you know, they know what the mercury does, and of course they're still living it in the influenza vaccine for the elderly, because it produces Alzheimer's disease. In the young, 6 months of age, they recommend you start with it. In fact, they start recommended it be given to pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy, when it'll do the maximum amount of harm to the brain of the child forming into the woman's uterus. And then, of course, it's in Rokan. Why is it there? Because it influences fertility, and not only in this generation, but certainly in animals in generations yet unborn. Which is why the people who are putting out hundreds of millions of dollars for vaccinations in third world countries are totally in favor of population control and of massive vaccinations. Now, if you really believe in population control, why would you want to vaccinate all these children and save their lives? And, of course, the reason is because the vaccines influence their fertility and predicts abortions. But many times they won't be able to get pregnant for generations. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, this is why we recommend Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Again, our telephone number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network. I'm John Russell. The Pentagon says a higher level of U.S. troops will stay in Afghanistan well into next year. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
The Defense Department doubled the number of combat brigades in Afghanistan earlier this year and later said that level would be maintained until year's end. But it now says the higher level will stay into 2008 and perhaps well beyond it. Part of the 101st Airborne Division will head there early next year to replace elements of the 82nd Airborne. The extra troops are there ahead of what's expected to be an amped-up fight from Taliban militants who've proven more organized and better trained than in the past.
A California prosecutor says he'll push for the death penalty for the man.